This past week, I ran across some questions that really just made me stop and think. I mean, there were some really heavy, deep questions concerning life. So I thought I wanted to share some of them with you, just to help me. Maybe you've thought of some of them before, so that kind of helps me also, believing that I'm not alone in some of these thoughts. So, here's some of these questions. For example, why can't you tickle yourself? You ever think about that? Others can tickle you. Why can't you tickle yourself? Or this one. Why do they call it a TV set when you only get one? If the number 21 is pronounced 21, why isn't number 11 pronounced 21? Here's an interesting one. If they squeeze olives to get olive oil, how do they get baby oil? Why is there an expiration date on a container of sour cream? Why do people pay to go up in tall buildings and then put money in binoculars to look at things back on the ground? And how do you get the deer to cross at that yellow road sign? You ever wonder about that? Why have they ever made mouse-flavored cat food? And why don't you ever see the headline, Psychic Wins Lottery? If they're so good. And finally, one which is very appropriate for today, and especially this pastor. If you tell a joke but nobody laughs, is it still a joke? You know, in all truth, some of these may seem like pretty silly questions. But actually, some of them are kind of thought-provoking. And in our scripture text this morning, God himself seems to be asking a similar type of question of the man Moses. But before we explore that, I want to just refresh us a little bit about some of the background of this man, Moses. As many of you know, Moses was born to a slave woman in Egypt who, in fear for Moses' life, she put him in a basket in the river and hid him. And then a servant of the king's daughter found him, and the king's daughter raised him up in the palace as her own son. And as the story continues, life was good for Moses until he actually found out who he was. He was not royalty. He was actually the son of a Hebrew slave. And as the story continues on, after he found this out, he ended up killing an Egyptian because the Egyptian was beating up another Hebrew slave. So in fear for his life, Moses fled, and he went to another country, the country of Midian, where he became a shepherd. And here's where Moses' life takes on an even bigger turn, a bigger challenge. Because one day, God appears to Moses in a burning bush, and he tells Moses that he wants Moses to return to Egypt to bring about the deliverance of all the Hebrews out of slavery. Now, what many people don't know is that Moses then, I mean, we just hear that story and we think Moses just, okay, God, I'll do what you say. But Moses actually began a whole series of excuses, you know, reasons why he couldn't do what God wanted him to do. He couldn't speak well. No one will listen to him, and so on and so on. So today, I don't want to focus necessarily on the excuses. I want to focus instead on what God says to him in the midst of all of his excuses. Now, this is from Exodus chapter 4, and I'm using a little clicker today to actually do it myself on these. So I've got this is kind of a little nerve-wracking because I'm figuring I'm going to just blow this. But anyway, so we'll try this here. Oh, whoa, is that good or what? Exodus chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. Moses answered, "What if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, 'The Lord did not appear to you'?" Then the Lord said to him, "What is that in your hand?" "A staff," he replied. The Lord said, "Throw it on the ground." Moses threw it on the ground and it became a snake, and he ran from it. Then the Lord said to him, "Reach out your hand and take it by the tail." So Moses reached out, took hold of the snake, and it turned back into a staff in his hand. "This," said the Lord, "is so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you." Now, in its context here, you know, God had already answered the first two of Moses' excuses by promising to be with him and to provide him with all the help that he needed. But Moses was still unconvinced. I mean, it's obvious he still doubted that God had the skills and the ability to carry this whole thing off. I mean, this is huge. You go deliver these slaves out of Egypt. So all this, and so, you know, God's listening to all these things, and finally just God asks him a very simple question. He says, "What's that in your hand?" Now that could be considered a silly question, because didn't God already know what Moses had in his hand? Couldn't he see this? So why ask the question? Well, in the story, God asks the question because there's something very important about that staff. Something it symbolized to Moses. In other words, the staff represented what Moses believed about himself at this point. See, Moses had once been a prince of Egypt. Plenty of power, prestige, wealth. But now he was simply a lowly shepherd out in the middle of the desert, taking care of his father-in-law's sheep. So maybe that staff was really the only thing that really belonged to him anymore. Maybe that staff was the only thing he really felt comfortable with. Maybe it was the only thing that he felt he could still control. So God asked Moses, "What's that in your hand?" And when Moses looks at it, as we read in the story, God suddenly tells Moses, "Just throw it on the ground." And Moses does it. And immediately, that staff became something more. No longer was it just a simple shepherd's staff. No longer was it a mere piece of wood. No longer did it represent the only thing in his life that Moses thought he could do. Now, had the nature of the staff permanently changed? No, it was still the same. But now there was a difference, because now it became a symbol of potential. And who was really in charge of Moses' life? And that's why one of the really important things for us to learn from this story is that today, God asks us the same question. What's that in your hand? What's in your hand that could be used for God? What is your staff? Is it our skills? Is it our hobbies, our dreams, our hopes, our passion? Is it our money, our time, our energy? What do we need to release control of? And you'll notice in the story, when Moses' staff is released from his hand, God didn't keep it. He still gave it back to Moses. He simply told Moses, "Trust me and pick it back up." why that's so important, so vital for us to understand, is that we don't actually lose what we give to God. It just becomes more valuable. And it has a whole lot more potential. And that's why, you know, there's a, Jesus says in Matthew 14:25, he says, "For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." Now, we often just take that verse and we apply it to, you know, becoming saved, that gift of salvation. But it's much more than that, because it can also apply to our everyday life that we live with God. See, God can take whatever we have, no matter how small, how insignificant we think it is, and in order to bring about His will, God can do what would seem impossible. But you know, the key is availability. There's a story of a man who applied for a job as a handyman. And his prospective employer asked, "Can you do carpentry?" And the man answered, "Well, no." "Well, how about bricklaying?" Again, the man answered, "No." So the employer asked, "Well, how about electrical work or plumbing?" The man said, "No, I don't know anything about either of those things." And finally, the employer said, "Well, then tell me what is so handy about you." The man replied, "I live just around the corner." Sometimes the greatest ability we have is simply our availability. I mean, would Moses' staff been able to be used in those instances if it had remained in Moses' hand? Would he have been able to do what God wanted him to do if he had just held on to that? It had to be made available to God first for His use. And what might have been the consequences if Moses had held on to that staff, if he had refused to let go? Maybe the Israelites would have stayed in slavery for a much longer time. Maybe thousands more of slaves would have died. Maybe we never even have heard of Moses. Fortunately, there's a postscript to this account in verse 20 of this story, which is very important. So Moses took his wife and sons, put them on a donkey, and started back to Egypt. And he took the staff of God in his hands. So what did Moses take? It was no longer Moses' staff. It says it was the staff of God. And Moses recognized that. And so Moses went to Egypt to do God's work, not only with the promise of God's power, but also with God's tools. And if you have ever read through the book of Exodus, you see all the things then that that staff was able to do to accomplish God's purpose. We find later in chapter 7, Moses turned the waters of Egypt into blood with that staff. He stretched it over land, brought a plague of frogs upon the land. He struck the dust of the earth, brought a plague of gnats. He waved it in the air, hordes of insects invaded the land. He stretched it over the Red Sea, the waters parted for the Hebrews to pass through. And later he struck a rock. He struck a rock and it broke open. Water poured out of it to quench the thirst of the people. And when he held that staff high up in the air, when the Israelites were in a battle, they were able to conquer their enemies. All because of that staff he had given to God. It's the same for us. We may not do such big dramatic things as Moses, but the thing God's the things God wants us to do is no less amazing. Because when we do God's work, we do it not only in His strength, but also with the tools that He's given to us to use. And that's why the Apostle Paul, in very powerful, encouraging words, and we've heard this many, many times before, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In other words, if we make ourselves, if we make our gifts, our talents, our time, our energy, if we make those things available to God, He takes them, He stamps His name on them. And then it's not our strength that gets us through, that gets things done. It's God's. It's not our wisdom that we lead and teach with. It's God's. It's not our hands that we work with. They're God's hands. It's not our compassion that we help with, but God's. All these things come to us by the power of the Holy Spirit. And knowing and accepting that can make a huge difference in our attitude about what we can do, what we think we can do. As we talked a few weeks ago, we talked about all the people in our lives, past and present, who have inspired us, who have encouraged us, who have shared themselves with us. All those people that we call the saints in our lives. They did not refuse to serve because they were too young, or they were too old, or too busy, or just because they didn't feel like it. They didn't refuse to give because they spent their time, their money, their energy taking care of themselves first. They served, they gave because they loved God. And they shared that love by letting go. Letting go of their excuses. Letting go of their rationale for why they could not. They just trusted that God would provide. And He did. Otherwise, very few of us would be here today. In your bulletins today, I want you to take that insert. This is our annual thing that we do, our annual volunteer opportunity each one of us has to serve God in His church, in our community, and even beyond. So I want to take a few moments. We're going to look at this. Many of the things are self-explanatory. But if you look on the back of it, I also have given some summaries of some of these things. And I've kind of broken it up differently than we have in the past. Because there are certain things that, you know, people get so accustomed to knowing exactly where they've done it several years. They know exactly where to check off. Choose the same things. All right, I'm done. I'm good. And that's fine if you feel this is where God's leading you to do something. But it's not fine if God is wanting you to serve in a different way. Just look at some of these things. You know, just in the worship category, I'm just got a couple things there. Nursery care. We always need people to work in the nursery. We've had some that have served faithfully for years that don't feel they can do it anymore. We need other people to step up. We need people to be, this is a little different this year with communion assistants. You know, Vicki Mason is going to be head of our communion stewards. We need people that are going to be willing to help her. Song leaders, we always need song leaders. You can see all these others, you know, valet parking attendant, offering attendant, you know, different things like that. Jump down to Sunday school. We have two new classes. You know, we need teachers. for our Sunday school, for children especially. We need people that are willing to work in the nursery during Sunday school. And then we go to outreach. And this is things that you can do outside of Sunday morning. You know, visits to shut-ins. We never have enough people to do that. You can look at there, you know, providing food, serving food at funeral dinners, concerts, greeters, refreshments for concerts, our Team Hope Cancer Care, a very vital ministry we've done, have been doing for the last 4 years. We've had great response over that in the past, but we've had some people that have moved. People are no longer able to do that. Some have died. We need additional workers for training. We need somebody to send birthday anniversary cards. A mission trip. We've done several of those. We haven't the last couple years. We'd like to do another one. Community help. We've tried this a few different times. It's kind of faltered each time. Need people that are willing to help in small projects, not just our church people, but our community, to reach out. And then there's the category below that, committees, ministries, fellowship groups. A couple things we're doing a little differently this year. Now, if you look on the back of your paper there, there's the top two things, worship and planning and mission committee. Those have always been appointed by our nominating committee. We're opening that up. If you want to be on one of those committees, you need to sign up for it. Worship and planning, you can read what they do. Missions, you can read what they do. Again, you know, missions is moving to evenings. So if you always thought you couldn't be part of the missions because they met during the day, we took care of that problem for you. I should say that excuse for you. Anyway, you can see some of the other things that are on there. But also on the right side of that bottom column there, if you would just like to be a part of something, you know, something you would like to attend, nobody ever invited you to it. You know, just attending a Sunday school class or the women's Bible study, the quilting class, or to a Bible study in the evenings. There's your opportunity to put your name down. You don't have to wait for somebody to say, "Hey, Julie, would you like to come to Sunday school?" She does, by the way. Okay. Another thing you'll notice on there at the bottom is there a men's monthly breakfast. I would love to start that once a month, a men's breakfast. We have a women's group. We have a young men's group. We have a teen group. We have a children's group. You guys are all feeling like, wow, why is there nothing for me, right? Here's your answer. So what I want to tell you to do, you know, pray about how you can be used. You know, you can turn them in today if you want. There's a basket at the back. You can put them in, or we can bring them back next Sunday. But pray about what you have, what God has given you, and what you're going to do with it. And I want to say something here. And if I haven't stepped on toes yet, I intend to right now. Okay? Because there are some people every year who refuse to fill one out. And I don't know the reason why, but they do. And there's others. And I kind of mentioned this before. Okay, I'll do this and this. I've done that for the last 10 years. Good, I'm good. You know, that's not trust. That's playing it safe. I'm saying, I'll do the same thing that I've always done. And God's going, really? Really? Choice is up to you. But I hope that we, just like Moses, will be challenged, will be excited in this coming year by the power of the staff that God has put in your hands. You don't have to go looking for it. It's right there. And God says, I want to put this last slide up there. What's that in your hands? And you see what they got there? Use me. That should be every one of our prayers. Use me, God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you that we are in ministry with you, the Creator, the Lord. And you want us. You desire us to be in ministry with you. Lord, help us to recognize what a privilege that is. May we hear your voice asking us, what are you going to do with what I've given you? We thank you, Lord. We praise you. In your Son's name we pray this. Amen.